Hello and welcome to the Townships at 12 on CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. On today's show, we're celebrating the power of storytelling and inspiring young readers. I'll be joined by two wonderful Canadian authors who will soon be visiting the townships to connect with students in our local schools. First, we'll hear from award-winning children's author Lydia Loukidis, who has written more than 60 books and is known for blending science and storytelling in creative and engaging ways. Then I'll be speaking with Matteo L. Sorelli, an author of children's and young adult fiction whose work explores themes of identity, imagination, and belonging. Both authors will be here in the townships at the end of April, sharing their love of reading and writing with students across the region. As always, I'll also be bringing you community event announcements, a look at some health news, and of course, some great music to enjoy along the way. So stay with me, it's all coming up right here on the Townships at 12 on CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube. And we'll start with a song called Storybook Love. It's by Mark Knopfler and Willie DeVette.
Come, my love, I'll tell you a tale of a boy and girl and their love story, and how he loved her oh so much, and all the charms she did possess. Now this did happen once upon a time, when things were not so complex, and how he worshipped the ground she walked, and when he looked in her eyes, he became obsessed. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel. Love was stronger than the power so dark a prince could have within his keeping. His spells to weave and steal a heart within her breast, but only sleeping. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel. I love you oh so much, and lay my heart at the foot of your dress. She said, don't you know that storybook loves always have a happy ending? Then he swooped her up just like in the books, and on his stallion they rode. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel.
You're listening to the Townships at 12 with me, your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and the station is CJMQ 88.9 FM. Now, I'm delighted to welcome award-winning Canadian children's author, Lydia Loukidis. Lydia has written more than 60 books for young readers, and what makes her work especially unique is the way she blends science with storytelling, bringing fascinating STEM topics to life in ways that are engaging, accessible, and inspiring for children. Her recent titles include Up, Up, High, The Secret Poetry of Earth's Atmosphere, Dancing Through Space, Dr. Mae Jemison Soars to New Heights, and the award-winning Deep, Deep Down, The Secret Underwater Poetry of the Mariana Trench. Lydia is also deeply involved in promoting children's literacy and regularly visits schools across Quebec to lead writing workshops. And she'll be right here in the townships on April 30th to meet students and share her love of reading and writing. Visit her website and learn more about her work, www.lydialukitis.com. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today I'm really happy to welcome children's author Lydia Lukitis to the townships at 12. Now, Lydia will be coming to the township to read some of her work in May, I believe. Thank you very much for the interview, Lydia.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you've written more than 60 books for children. My goodness. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how your journey as a writer began?
Yeah, actually, I started reading when I was 4. My mother was a teacher, so that kind of explains it. And I started writing when I was 6, and I wrote poetry. And I know it's not the most popular thing for little kids to write, but that's just how my brain processed things. And so I became a poet and continued writing poetry and never thinking it could actually be a career. I just did what I love. And then I was actually supposed to become an engineer. And I was, was recommended to me, let's say, to study science to keep my options open. And so I did. And I got a degree in pure and applied science. And I was good at it. And I realized I don't have a passion for it. So when it came time for university, I decided, you know what? I don't think engineering is in the future for me. I want to study literature. And so that's what I did. Again, not knowing how I would formulate my career. That came later. After I graduated, I still didn't go directly into writing. I went into puppetry. And then from there, I realized, wow, I really love working with kids. And wow, I really love writing, which obviously I already knew. And that's when the bell really went off. And that was in my 20s. Aha. I'm going to write for kids.
Do you remember the kinds of books or stories that inspired you back then when you were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started writing poetry, one of my main influences was Dr. Seuss, because he, you know, no one taught me how to write poetry. I learned what a stanza is all by myself. I learned how to rhyme. I learned about cadence and flow through Dr. Seuss books. And then as I got older, I was reading more and more Canadian poetry, especially. And that's actually what I studied in university, was Canadian American poetry. And so for me, a lot of these poets were definitely influences, and then I kind of developed my own style throughout the years.
Okay, interesting. Now, you do combine science with storytelling. Why do you think that's such a powerful way to engage young readers?
Well, you know, that's the funny thing. So I studied science not knowing that I would be using all of that knowledge that I gained in my book. Because when I started writing, I was first hired to write STEM books, and I did that for an educational company. And so that's how I got my start in the writing industry. And then I realized I really like writing about science. It's, you know, I do actually think science is interesting, even though I didn't want to be necessarily a scientist, but I find it interesting. And so I started writing books on science. And then with Deep, Deep Down, my book about the Mariana Trench, that was the moment where I realized, wow, I can actually combine science with poetry. And so that book is basically a poem, although it doesn't rhyme. It's got lyricism. And so that's one of the things I'm known for, is lyrical poetry that has STEM content.
How do you make that accessible and fun for kids?
Yeah, that's the thing, because science can often be perceived as difficult or complex or boring. And so I really try to fight against that stereotype. When I give workshops, you know, kids are very visual, so I give show a lot of videos, and we have a lot of discussions about, let's say, animal adaptations or other fun topics. And so I get them to realize that actually science is fun. Science can be interesting. And the important thing about when you want to write about science is to obviously distill these topics down to like very accessible text so that young kids can understand, A, but B, more importantly, you really don't want to frame this as like a textbook, because, you know, who wants to read a textbook? That's boring. So you've got to frame your story as an adventure. So it almost feels like the reader's coming on this adventure with you and learning as they're, you know, it's almost like a fictional story, except it's real. And so by the end of the book, they've learned all these new facts, but it wasn't framed as educational. So that's how to do it. It's to frame it as an adventure.
Interesting. Now, your book, Deep, Deep Down, has received several awards. What did that recognition mean to you?
Well, you know, that at that point, I had published about 45 books. And this is a very tough industry. So you really have to pay your dues. and then get to the next level. So for me, that was really the first book that brought me to the next level. But somehow it did really, really well. And, you know, that's not something I can control, by the way. I just write about what I love, and I hope it's well received. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't as much. There's not much control over that. So I think I hit the nail on that one because I happened to pick a topic that kids love. They already know a lot about the deep sea, and you know, I love that book personally. So it did really well. And I noticed that definitely when your book wins awards, that in turn creates more readership, more kids buy your book, and then, you know, ignites more sales, and then the book becomes more and more popular. So it's not, sometimes it takes time. The book's not necessarily popular right when it releases, but you know, after a couple of months and then after a year, there's a lot more momentum and it becomes more and more popular.
Mm-hmm. Now, a big theme in your work is curiosity. Why is it so important to nurture that in children?
Well, I think kids are naturally curious. So that's, you know, not my doing. That's just how kids are. And I want to make sure, and not only that, they're very imaginative. And my job as a writer, and all of us really, is to nurture that imagination and that curiosity. I never want kids to stop being curious, because that's how you learn more about yourself and the world.
That's true. What do you hope kids feel or learn after reading one of your books?
Well, I mean, the first thing is whatever the content is. Like for Mariana Trench, the whole point was for them to discover what's at the bottom of the ocean. But then, you know, other books like Dancing Through Space is about the first African-American woman who ever went to space. So first, there's always the topic at hand. But really, at the end of the day, it's about curiosity and having questions and using those questions to further your own research. So I always like to help kids generate their own questions about things they're curious about so that they can go off and do their own research. And I talk a lot about popular nonfiction books just to get them interested and tell them, hey, you should go to the library and check this out. So the goal really is to promote curiosity, but also, of course, promote literacy.
Mm-hmm. Now, you'll be visiting schools here in the townships. What can students expect when they attend one of your readings or workshops?
Well, honestly, it's a lot of fun. And this took literally years to perfect. My workshops 15 years ago were probably not as fun, although they were very probably informative. I hadn't found my kind of formula on what really works. And what I've noticed, what really works is two things. The first thing is that, again, my workshops are very visual. So I bring lots of videos and I bring a fun slideshow. And so they love seeing pictures and videos. But the second thing is that kids are really smart and they want to answer questions. They want to say what the things they know. They want to have a discussion. They don't just want me to stand there for 2 hours talking and it's Newstown. You know, they're probably going to stop listening to me halfway through. And so it's very interactive. And that has been a winning point. We talk together. I bring up new facts. And then, of course, the goal at the end of the workshop is to inspire their own writing.
Okay. What does your writing process look like when you're working on a new book?
Yeah, it's really messy. I have no control over my muse. It's not like, oh, I have an idea and I'm going to write a book. No, there's like 30 ideas floating around in my head chaotically. And I write one book and then I write a little bit of another one. And then I listen to my gut. So whatever my gut says, oh, let's go work on that. And, I don't always think in terms of marketing. I do have to admit, I don't think, hey, what's the market looking for right now? Or what's the trend? Or what could be a bestseller? I really go based on what I feel passionate about. Because let me tell you, when you're writing a book for 3 years, you got to have that passion to pull you through those years of work. And then, of course, it takes years to get your book published. So for me, I just rely on instinct and passion. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when it works, it really works.
Do you start with the science concept first or the story, or how does that go?
Usually I start with an idea and then I'll do research. And then in my research, there's a lot of facts, right? But no kid wants to be just told a million facts. You have to find what's interesting and what could be the in for children. What do children find interesting? And I do also write fiction. I just came out with my Groucho book, which I'll be touring as well with the Book Week. And that was really character-based. So I started with a character, and I really developed, it took actually a year to develop that character. And then from there, then I figured out, okay, what's happening in my story? And then the story arc came after the character. So often in fiction, the character comes first.
Mm-hmm. I saw that book on your website. The cover is really cute.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you also work as a journalist and collaborate on creative projects. How do those experiences influence your writing for children?
I mean, everything influences everything, because writing is writing and it's speaking to someone's soul, whether it's an adult or a child. Of course, writing a journalistic article for adults is very different, but it's still similar in the sense that, you know, you've got to do your research and then you've got to speak to your audience and you've got to make it compelling so that it's interesting writing. So there's really a through line in all of it, although I really do prefer to write for children. I tend to write for all ages, but when it comes to my books, it really is geared to children. And I think that's because I kind of still have a lot of imagination and I almost feel like a kid stuck in a big person's body. That's just how my brain works. I still very in touch with my childhood. And so I really think that children's writers need to have that component in their lives. They need to still be have this connection to their childhood and to their innocence. And so they write from that place.
That's really not a bad thing. Now, you're very involved in promoting literacy. Why is that such an important part of your work?
Yeah, that is really, I am very emotional about this topic because honestly, books saved my life. I was a very shy child and I had a lot of problems just interacting in public and speaking in class, and I wasn't very popular. And for me, books really saved me because I could just escape into these worlds of fantasy, and it really helped me just grow this world inside of me. And then I, you know, of course, was writing at the same time. So for me, especially for the shy kids, you know, books were everything. And so I you know, and this obviously doesn't apply to just shy children. Any child can read, but reading basically can change your life, can broaden your horizons, make you smarter, give you more knowledge, but inspire you and expose you to more. So even, I always tell kids this, even if you don't want to become an author, reading and writing are really important skills to have no matter what profession you choose. And so it's really important to always keep your mind open and broaden it. And reading really does that.
It does. What role do programs like Quebec's Culture in the Schools play in inspiring young readers and writers?
Well, I'm really lucky to be part of that program because it's, you know, where artists can go and talk about their craft. So it's not only writers, it could be like dancers or, you know, any really form of art. And so I really respect the government for still having that program because, you know, of course, we know that the arts is the first thing to be cut, but this program hasn't been cut. So I'm really grateful because it gives a chance for us to go into schools. And it's not just about standing there and talking about, let's say, character development. It's about inspiring kids. And that's the bottom line of what the program is about. It's about inspiring kids.
If you could visit any place you've written about, outer space, the deep ocean, where would you go?
Well, I would definitely go to the Mariana Trench. Now, would I go in this lifetime? No, because I'm a little claustrophobic. So being in a submersible might not, you know, and it's also a little bit dangerous. So, you know, being a mom, I don't know if I would do that. So I often write about people who I find really adventurous, like all these explorers and scientists really have that knack of adventure that I don't know that I have that. I like to write about it, but I don't know if I'd be the type of person to go to space. But if I can go anywhere, it would definitely be the bottom of the trench because honestly, when you watch videos, you can go onto YouTube and just watch them. It's like another world. It's almost like this alien landscape and it's so beautiful and it's part of our world, but we don't really think about it. That would definitely be where I'd go.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you. What would you say to a child who dreams of becoming a writer someday?
Wow. I would say your two biggest helpers will be, number one, read. Number two, write. I know it sounds obvious, but honestly, reading and writing will make you a much, much better writer. Even for me, like I've got to write every single day because believe me, my first drafts are pretty horrendous. And then the second draft is still horrendous, but gets a little bit better and then a little bit better. In fact, deep down, I had to rewrite 55 times, which is a bit unusual. I don't usually have to do it so many times, but that's just what it was for that book. And so you've really got to love what you do because you're going to be spending a lot of time writing and editing. And that's kind of where the magic happens. But also not to forget about reading, because although you're not reading to copy other writers, you're reading just to get inspired. And I can tell you this, anytime I feel stuck, I just pick up a book. It doesn't have to be on the topic I'm writing about. Honestly, my creativity always opens just from reading someone else's words. So read and write and you'll become a better writer is always my advice.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like wonderful advice. Anything we left out that you'd like to add, Lydia?
No, I just I love just one thing I want to say about children is that, again, I said it before, but I want to reiterate it. I'm still amazed at how smart kids are. You know, because I give the Marionette Sense workshop, I'll give it usually to like grade 3-4. And, you know, these are young kids. And I've got to say, when I was in grade 3, I did not know anything about the deep sea. And I go into these workshops and I'm showing these really, you know, odd pictures of sharks and all these sea creatures. And the kids always know what they are. It's pretty amazing to me. And so I am amazed that, especially with certain topics, like let's say space or the deep sea, they're really smart. And so I actually get inspired by them. And every time I talk about the Marianas Trench, there's always one student that brings up the megalodon, which is, of course, the biggest shark that ever was in the ocean. So much so that it's been years of me hearing about the megalodon. So now I'm writing a book about the megalodon. So I got to say that working with kids, it's not only a joy to interact with them, but it also inspires me for future work.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now we've been talking with Lydia Loukidis. She is a children's author based in Dollard des Ormeaux, coming to the townships in May. So thanks very much, Lydia, and all the best on all your work.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. And next up, we have some community event announcements for you. Nominations coming up for the QAHN, Quebec Anglophone Heritage Network, Marion Phelps Award, awarded to individual volunteers for outstanding long-term contributions to the preservation of the heritage and history of English-speaking Quebec. The Richard Evans Award, awarded to organizations or groups of volunteers for outstanding long-term contributions to the preservation of the heritage and history of English-speaking Quebec. Young Volunteer Award recognizes outstanding volunteer contributions by Quebecers aged 18 to 30 to the preservation of the heritage and history of English-speaking Quebec. Nomination deadline, April 1st. To learn more about these awards or to download the nomination forms, go to qahn.org. For information or to email submissions, home@qahn.org. By mail, Awards Committee, 3355 College Street in Sherbrooke, J1MOB8. The annual Family Egg Hunt is coming up at Hope Community Church on Saturday, April 4th, 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Enjoy games, bouncy castles, popcorn, cotton candy, and a special gospel presentation. This event is designed for children aged 3 to 12 years old and the families, and everyone is welcome. Please register so that they know how many people to prepare for. hccLenoxville.ca/egghunt. Coming up, it's the Spring Fashion Show, a fundraiser to help women attain their driver's license. The Lenoxville and District Women's Center, in collaboration with Boutique LD, is putting on a fashion show on April 10th. Go to www.ldwc-store.square.site. Save $5 by buying your ticket early. $20 early bird, $25 at the door. $10 youth ages 10 to 17, and $12 youth at the door. Free for those under 10 years old, but a ticket must be reserved. The fashion show starts at 8 p.m. and the doors open at 7:30 p.m. That's April 10th at Lenoxville Elementary School, located at 1 Academy Street in Lenoxville. There will be a fundraiser spaghetti supper happening on April 25th, Bury Firefighters Spaghetti Supper, to raise money for the Volunteer Fire Department in Bury. 563 Main Street in Bury, $15 per person, 8 and under eat for free, starts at 5 p.m. For tickets, call the Bury Fire Chief at 819-452-1017. That's 819-452-1017. Mental Health S3 will be having another online workshop, Always On High, Functioning Anxiety and Hustle Culture, led by Melissa Hindley, MACO psychotherapist, Wednesday, April 29th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. online Zoom. Many of us know what it is like to feel constantly on, pushing through, staying productive, and carrying on even when we are overwhelmed. This workshop will explore high-functioning anxiety, the pressure to stay in work-hard mode, and how this can keep us stuck in stress and survival mode. Together, we'll look at how this shows up in our daily lives and share practical ways to move toward more balance. Call Mental Health S3 for more information or to register. 819-565-3777. I would like to thank my guest on the first part of today's show, Canadian children's author Lydia Loukidis. She's coming to the townships on April 30th to read at the various schools. We will take a break and hear the news with Derek Bullard, and then we will be right back with part two of the Townships at 12. And in part two today, I will be speaking with another Canadian author from Toronto, Matteo Sorelli, who is also coming to the townships to read in schools on April 27th. We will close part one of today's show with a song called A Million Dreams, and it's by Hugh Jackman. So please stay tuned. You're listening to the Townships at 12 here on The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM.
Every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take. Oh, a million dreams for the world we're gonna make.
However big, however small, let me be part of it all. Share your dreams with me. You may be right, you may be wrong, but say that you'll bring me along to the world you see.
To the world I close my eyes to see. I close my eyes. Cause every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head.
A million dreams are keeping me awake.
A million dreams, a million dreams. I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take.
For the world we're gonna make.